The book of Ecclesiastes poses a lot of deep questions about life, but tragically, it doesn't offer a lot of answers. Written by one of the wealthiest men in the world, Solomon's Journal contains a series of cynical observations about the meaning of life. He concluded that all of his striving, all his acquisition, amounted to nothing more than emptiness and futility. Today on Insight for Living, you'll hear Chuck Swindoll continue our study through this ancient journal. We'll discover how Solomon's disenchantment with life remarkably parallels what so many people feel in our own generation. Chuck Swindoll titled today's message, Chasing the Wind.
There is no meaning to this crummy existence called Earth and life on planet Earth if you live only beneath the perspective of the sun. The sun, even in its circulatory course, or this Earth, however you prefer to see it, is nothing there. Another endless cycle. Well, how about the wind? It blows toward the south, it turns toward the north, it continues swirling along on its circular courses, the wind returns, and you see it swirl, and you'll look at it tomorrow, it'll still be there, still swirling, still moving in its courses, in its course, and it's a monotonous, repetitive thing. I think verse 8 was written with a deep, long sigh. Oh, all things are wearisome. Man isn't able to tell it. Verse 9, that which has been is that which will be. And that which has been done is that which will be done. Nothing new. He even says, I'd like to forget it. Verse 11, there's no remembrance of those things. Or the later things which will occur. Ever felt like that at the end of a day? I'd like to forget this day. How about at the end of the pursuit of some degree? I'd like to forget that school. Or all that stuff that I gained and all those hours I spent and all of that work I put in, I'd just like to forget it. Don't look at me like that. You've had thoughts like that. So have I. Apathy rules. Who cares? And so he introduces us to himself. He says, I'm the speaker. Verse 12, I'm the speaker. I'm the one who addresses the assembly. And I'm talking horizontal existence. He says in verse 13, here's what I did. I set my mind, and there's real resolve in that. I rolled up my sleeves. I cleaned off my windshield. I set my sights. I pushed forward. The same kind of resolve you feel when you take off in a backpack. I decided I will take that climb. All right? What did he do? Well, to seek and explore by wisdom. That's human wisdom concerning all that's been done under heaven. Let me give you a little bit of insight into these two words because they describe his mission. The first word in Hebrew, translated seek, means to investigate the roots of a matter. And this man says, I decided I would research the roots of those things. And so he began to pursue the origin of them, and we'll get into them in this book. And he began to reason out the outworking of them. And he made notes on the results of them as he pursued this study. And he pushed at it. And he shoved aside all of the affairs of state. And he pushed aside the needs of his home. And he set aside his religious moorings. And he dug into the subject. But that's not all. This man is a unique kind of intellectual. He also explored. Now, that term means to examine all sides, and it's a practical word for experimentation. Not only did I seek to study the gardens and the lakes and rivers and reservoirs and streams. I did experiments with them. I pursued those things to the point of getting involved in them. I went after it, as we will see next time in our study, the whole world of wine and women and song and eating and drinking and, quote, being merry, unquote. I got into it and I felt the burn of the booze as it went down my throat, and I felt the heady feeling in my head when I gave myself to it. I experienced the full-orbed world of a sexual involvement, and I would suggest right to the limits of perversion. I sought it all the way, because if there's something to that, I want that satisfies. Now, you've got a journal of a man that stopped at nothing when he sought and when he explored by human wisdom all things under the heavens. Remember, no limit in his brains and no limit in his bucks. We're talking full investigation. And he says, it is a grievous task which God has given to the sons of men to be afflicted with. What is living life under the sun? In fact, I've taken a moment to mark some things in my Bible that describe his initial findings. In verse 13, I mark grievous task and affliction. That saves me a lot of searching. If I want to read truth from a man inspired of God who was not only researching it but experiencing it, and save myself the headache, time, scandal, and hassle of it all, I just need to remember he says it's a grievous task and it's an affliction. I notice in verse 14 he says it's like striving after wind. You might note that. Words mean chasing the wind. He says it again in verse 17. It's like striving. It is striving after wind. And verse 18, the student's favorite verse, in much wisdom there's much grief, and increasing knowledge results in increasing pain. Now, I think if my daughter were reading that, she'd write homework over verse 18, because that's part of it. In other words, apathy rules. All this busy work called the student activity and student assignments and all, I've talked it out, I have seen it out, I've listened, I've given it my best shot, verse 17 says. I set my mind to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I realize that this is chasing the wind. I've been there. You know, there's nothing quite like talking to a person that's been there. I was running the other day on a local track at the college over here, and I looked up, and here comes Fred Dixon. Now, me next to Fred Dixon, you have every right to laugh, because it is a joke. Fred Dixon was in training for the decathlon. Chuck Swindoll can't even spell decathlon, okay? I'm running for survival. He's running for fun. And if you've ever run alongside a decathlon individual, you want to run and hide in the closest barn you can find. And as he came up alongside me, I immediately felt intimidated. I didn't tell Fred that. He knew when I started crying that I had trouble right there running alongside him. And, of course, I made a joke of it. I said, I don't want to slow your pace down, Fred. Ha, 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 ha. He said, I thought I'd run. He said, I saw you running over here. I thought I'd run along with you. And then we talked for a few minutes. There's nothing like talking to somebody that's been to the decathlon to know what it's about. He's been there. If it hadn't been cut off right at the pass and we didn't go for the Olympics back in that year when he would have, I think, won, he was the number one American candidate for the task to win it. He'd have won it. He's been there. That's better than studying in a history book and going through all the stuff to find all the theoretical things. Just talk to Fred. You want me to save you all the headache of the stuff that's described in this book? Just talk to Solomon. Just talk to him. You're dumb not to talk to Solomon. You're dumb not to listen to Solomon. You don't have his money and you don't have his brains, neither do I, so we need to talk to a man that's been there. This guy's been there. And he's even thoughtful enough to say, I'm going to tell you what I experienced. Let me be gutsy enough to tell you something else. He's going to say it's not worth it to go into drugs. He's going to say you're stupid if you give your life to booze. He's going to tell you, if you think that an affair is going to satisfy, I'll tell you, I've had every possible affair you can have, and it won't work. And if you think it's business or money or some great achievement that you can work it up to, and somehow you can make it and say, great job, it won't be great. You'll hate it. It'll stink. You'll want to die. That's Solomon's word because he's been there. What Dixon is to the decathlon, this man is to pursuits in life. I got to say one more thing about this whole thing of intellectualism. If intellectualism were the major key to purpose and fulfillment, our campuses would be Camelots of peace and fulfillment. People would gravitate to those campuses and they would find in those campuses fulfillment and dreams and the wondrous things of life. What do you find on the campus? Boiling pots. Political activism. Communism at work, all kinds of weird ideas, dissatisfied faculty members. Those who do not find their satisfaction above the sun find themselves lost in the morass of their endless philosophies. And the answer isn't just studying more. Can you name one secular scientist who's happy with life? Me neither. Can you show me one man or one woman that is in this heady, high-minded world of intellectualism without God who finds himself fully satisfied rather than in a maddening pursuit for something else? I can't either. I can't find him. You talk about the value of putting Jesus Christ in the center of an intellectual pursuit. Now you're talking. You remove him and you're headed for quick disaster. It won't satisfy. Apathy rules. He says in verse 16, I have magnified and increased wisdom more than all who were over Jerusalem before me. Look at that. I stopped at nothing. My mind has observed a wealth of human wisdom and earthly knowledge. I have pored over it. I have been there. I set that mind of mine to know wisdom, madness, folly. I realized chasing the wind. In a book, a secular book called Lost in the Cosmos, the last self-help book, a little satire there, by Walker Percy. This reviewer says he's thinking about who we are and how we got into this mess. Lost in the cosmos. What mess? Basically, the fact that everything we engage in, science, art, pleasure, wealth, politics, war, is conducted without any real knowledge of what or whom we're doing it for. I love this analogy. When we are children, we see things more or less as follows. Cows are to give milk. Mountains are to climb. Cars are to ride in. Germs are to be sick with. Children draw houses with a face in every window. How could there not be a face? Windows are for looking through. Policemen are for helping us cross streets. Farmers are for growing food. And fathers are for making noise in the shower. I like that one. And going to work, and mothers are for smelling good. As we grow older, our perception of the physical world becomes more complex. Isn't that the truth? Suddenly, a cow's no longer a cow, and a house doesn't have windows, doesn't need to have windows. What are windows for? You can work in a room without windows to get your job done. Take away the faces. Bring on the computers, machines, stuff. So you don't have to hassle all to clean those windows and all that functionary stuff like talking to each other. You don't need all of that. All you need is further pursuit and further complication and further sophistication until this guy himself says there's nothing to it. That's why he calls it lost in the cosmos. When will we learn? Now, the man closes this chapter by saying, in much wisdom there's grief, and increasing knowledge there's increasing pain. Am I saying you shouldn't pursue an education? You know better than that. Am I saying that ignorance is what reigns supreme? No more than apathy that reigns supreme. The answer is not ignorance. Let me see if I can tell you the answer. Let me see if I can relieve some of the pressure with just a little part of the steam coming out of this teapot that's boiling. Couple of thoughts. The first one is this, and I get it from in between the lines. If there is nothing but nothing under the sun, our only hope must be above it. You go that far with me? If there's nothing but nothing under the sun, then something must be beyond it. Wonder if T.S. Eliot wasn't onto that. Endless invention, endless experiment brings knowledge of motion but not of stillness. Knowledge of speech but not of silence. Knowledge of words and ignorance of the word. All our knowledge brings us nearer to our ignorance. All our ignorance brings us nearer to death, but nearness to death, no nearer to God. Where is the life we have lost in living? Second thought, if a man who had everything, investigated everything, visible, if a man who had everything, investigated everything visible, then the one thing needed must be invisible. You ready to agree with that? A man who had everything, investigated everything visible, then and there was no satisfaction, apparently the satisfaction will come only in that which is invisible. Do you realize how few people really hear the inaudible? How few really see the invisible? An Indian was walking in downtown New York City alongside a friend who was a citizen of the city, right there in Manhattan. And the Indian held onto his friend's arm and says, "Wait, I hear a cricket." And his friend said, "Come on, cricket? Man, this is downtown." He always says, I really do. He says, "It's impossible. You can't hear a cricket." Taxis going by, people screaming at each other, brakes screeching, both sides of the sidewalk filled with people, cash registers screaming on the inside, and folks yelling on the outside. There's no cricket. He says, "Wait a minute." So he leaves his friend, walks down the end of the block, goes across, looks around, can't find it, goes across the street, and there in a large cement planter where there is a tree planted, he digs into the mulch, and he finds a cricket. He says, "See?" His friend walks across the street and says, "How in the world could it be that you're a cricket in the middle of all of this?" And he said, "Well, my ears are different from yours. It simply depends on what you're listening to. Here, let me show you." And he reaches in his pocket and he pulls out a handful of change, a couple of quarters and three or four nickels and dimes and some pennies. And he says, "Now watch." Held out about waist high and dropped it, and every head within a block turned around and looked in the direction of the Indian. It all depends on what you're listening for. We don't have enough crickets in our heads. We don't listen for them. You have perhaps spent all of your life searching for a handful of change, and you have missed the real sound of life and meaning. Let's bow together. I think I speak to some people who are really pursuing excellence, and I don't misjudge that at all. In fact, you're probably some of the beautiful people in the terms of the world. You look good. You carry on a decent life. You're not willing to adopt at least the wardrobe of the way you feel. So you dress well and you do your business and you pay your bills and you keep dreaming. You keep hoping that is a real light at the end of that tunnel. But it's a handful of change. There's not life in one of those coins. The only way you're going to find satisfaction is in the invisible. It's in the inaudible. It's in being still and knowing that He's God. It's in putting Jesus Christ in the nucleus of whatever pursuit, marriage, business, an education, travel, a single life, a career. Let go of the change. Come to Christ. Believe in Him. We have friends who will help you understand the gospel clearly. You are friends who come searching, confused, troubled, bewildered. We'll see your need for Christ by talking with these folks who were there to help you. They'll help you know the value of being still and finding hope in Christ. Father, hear our words and our hearts and our needs today. Meet them, please, for they are deep and they have been with us all our lives. May we see beyond the futility, beyond the sun. May we catch a glimpse of the eternal Son of God and see the inestimable value of His presence and power in this thing called life. In His name we pray. Amen.
No one other than God Himself can truly satisfy the longings of our hearts. You're listening to Insight for Living and the conclusion to a message from Chuck Swindoll titled, Chasing the Wind. We'll hear a closing comment from Chuck in just a minute, so please do stay with us. Now, to order this comprehensive 24-part study in Ecclesiastes, Living on the Ragged Edge, just go online or give us a phone call. Go to insightworld.org, or if you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. And then today, we'd like to send out a special note of thanks to our loyal monthly companions. This family of friends has come alongside us with their monthly giving and prayer support. We're deeply grateful for those who share our passion for God's Word and want to see Chuck's teaching continue. If you're listening in the United States, you can become one of our monthly companions today and enjoy the satisfaction of knowing you're doing your part by calling 1-800-772-8888. And whether you'd like to become a monthly companion or give a single one-time donation of any amount today, we'd like to send you a book that was hand-picked by our teacher. In fact, he's here to tell us about Jerry Bridges' excellent work, The Pursuit of Holiness.
I've been reading the Bible for a long time, my entire life, in fact. And I'll confess, even after many years of combing through the sacred scriptures, I still come across verses that completely surprise me. Verses that virtually take my breath away. Verses that, may I say, bring me to my knees. Like this one in Hebrews 12:14. Make every effort to live in peace with all men. Okay, that's not the hard part. I understand that straightforward statement, and you do too. But then the writer adds this. Pursue holiness, for without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Oh my. Holiness is not an option. Holiness is a condition. In fact,
If I read this correctly, it's a requirement. In our sinful state, attaining holiness is an unreachable, unreasonable, unattainable standard. Or is it? No one does a better job at answering that troubling question than Jerry Bridges in his classic book, The Pursuit of Holiness. It is altogether biblical, yet readable. And I can assure you this, when you're done reading Jerry's book, you will feel both relieved and inspired. This book belongs on your reading list. Get a copy today. The Pursuit of Holiness by Jerry Bridges.
All right, thanks, Chuck. And here's how to receive your copy. It's yours when you include a donation of any amount. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. And online, go to insight.org. Whether you choose to become a monthly companion today or just give a one-time donation of any amount, we'll say thank you by providing this excellent book from Jerry Bridges, The Pursuit of Holiness. We believe this is a fitting way to reinforce the importance of our partnership together by providing a resource designed to strengthen your walk with God. In the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. And online, go to insight.org. I'm Dave Spiker. Chuck Swindoll's study of Ecclesiastes continues Monday, Living on the Ragged Edge, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Chasing the Wind, was copyrighted in 1983, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2013 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.